Hello, everyone, and welcome to this lecture where I talk about search engine optimization. This is the positioning of the lecture to the course framework. So, as you can see, we are in part two, operational activities of digital marketing. And I would argue that SEO is mainly related to the top of the funnel activities within the MRACE model. So, search engine optimization is often used, especially to reach customers. So, as the name hints, search engine optimization is about increasing visibility in search engines, which is a great way to reach customers. But it can also move down in the funnel to act, sometimes even convert stages, as when customers are searching information via search engines, and you have informational content that relate to the search query. Chances are that the consumers who click your search results will then end up in the website where they di are directly taken to a page where you have informational or some other type of content that may also activate customers and sometimes even make them convert immediately. But definitely, I would say that mainly search engine optimization addresses these top of the funnel reach, especially, and perhaps a bit of activation part. The learning goals for this lecture, first of all, you should be able to recognize the key factors that affect SEO, so search engine optimization performance. And secondly, conduct keyword analysis to identify relevant keywords to embed in the website content. To begin with, let's start with the very basics. So, search engine optimization is the process of making your website more visible in search engines like Google without paying for ads. So you can also use advertisements in the search engines, but let's say the majority of the results provided by Google or any other search engine are so-called unpaid or organic search results that you're not essentially paying to Google for. Those are just search results that Google thinks are most relevant against a given search query. Going back to that in a bit. Google is clearly a very dominant search engine globally, perhaps besides China, maybe some other countries, but generally, Google has a very strong market position in Nordic countries, in Europe, in US, let's say Western Hemisphere at least. And here are some stats. Always take these stats with a pinch of salt. There might be differences how they calculate these market shares and so on, but gives you the key message, which is that Google is pretty dominant search engine around the world. And why search engine optimization then is important is that, well, consumers use a lot of search engines when they are planning to purchase something or when they're evaluating alternatives. And especially the majority of the so-called medium and high involvement purchasing processes include the use of search engines. So whenever you really need to think about what you are buying, you really are not quite sure which product to buy, then chances are you're going to use search engines. And the other way around, if you are planning to buy milk, then that's usually like a habitual purchasing process or any other groceries. There are product categories that are not so heavily searched. Perhaps you are sometimes interested in, let's say, something more specific like good vegan alternatives or whatnot, but generally we buy many things with our habits or the things that kind of belong to our habits. We are used to buying certain type of milk or groceries and so on, so we don't really think or search information. But for a broad category of products, there is often the stage in the purchasing process where we actually want some information, and quite often we turn to search engines when doing so. One important thing to note is that when you already know which product, or at least which product category you're looking for, then it's also quite common that we skip the search engines and we go to our favorite e-commerce stores, for example, if we want to do e-commerce buying, or generally to websites where we know that, okay, this is a good store that offers these types of products. So you can see that, for example, in these product-related searches, Amazon is a very dominant player, especially in the US, but also many other European countries, at least. I would say that the same dominance is maybe not so prevalent in Nordic countries. Perhaps if we think about e-commerce, so it's quite common that you have some favorite stores for buying clothes or buying electronics, and sometimes we might skip this Google search. But however, it's still very commonly in there. But especially Google and search engines are important when we are maybe a little bit more unsure what kind of product perhaps satisfies our needs and so on. So then we need this broader search terms and broader information to begin with. Now, search engine optimization. So it's about increasing the visibility in the search engines, roughly. So when we talk about search engine optimization, it's important to understand that it affects organic search results on the search engine results page. And what are these organic or unpaid results? They refer to most of the results that you typically see. So, for example, in this example, you can see that on the very top, you get some sponsored content that relates to my search query, which in this case has been new laptop. So these are ads and they do not belong to the realm of SEO. But anything after that, what we can currently see are organic. So there is no tag that says, or a label that says that it's sponsored. So these are organic search results. And here are just some examples, and perhaps already gives us some idea what kind of pages Google likes. So I have Googled new laptop. So you can kind of get the sense of what kind of content Google thinks that I'm looking for. Best laptops tested, best laptops we have tested, best laptops, best laptops. I didn't Google best laptops, but Google interprets my query that I'm probably looking for a new laptop and I'm not quite sure which would be the best model that fits my needs. So it starts giving this informational content rather than offering a specific product. But this, of course, depends on the context quite much. Now, why is SEO beneficial for companies? Why many companies are very interested in SEO and put a lot of efforts to be highly ranked? The first is cost efficiency. So, in a sense, you get free traffic to the website. So, if I click any of these links that we can see here, it's so-called free traffic for, let's say, Tom's Guide. So, I'm going to click here. So it's free traffic for Tom's Guide because Tom's Guide is not paying anything for Google. Instead, if I would click one of these ads, then I would pay for Google for each click. And we come back to this issue when we start talking about the paid search. But on this lecture, we talk about the organic search rankings. Obviously, to be well ranked, is not a coincidence, but it needs hard work from the website owner or the organization behind it. You need to plan your content so that it fits these search engine algorithms and so on. So, I mean, therefore, I put free traffic with the quotation marks because I mean it's not free in a sense that it probably needs a lot of work hours from the organization, but there is no money moving when I click the link. Then we don't have to pay extra for Google in this instance. The better you perform in organic search results, the cheaper it is also to execute paid search campaigns. This is because performing well in organic search is an indication of a high quality website for Google and other search engines. And high quality websites need to pay less for paid search campaigns. We'll come back to this issue later on, but it's just good to keep in mind that when you have a nicely SEO optimized website and web pages, then it's often a little bit cheaper to also advertise in these search channels. The second reason is that SEO is very nicely aligned with the content marketing principles and customer needs. So, for example, the inbound logic that we have discussed previously, you could say that SEO is not an interruptive marketing tactic because customers are looking for certain type of content or information when they use search engines. So I'm looking for a new laptop, and then the organization is providing me information about laptops. So it's not interruptive. Instead, it's very user-friendly. It creates value for me, provided that the content is of high quality. Second, personalization. Well, SEO is about tailoring the content to search queries prompted by customers. So again, it's highly customer-centric in a sense that we really need to think what kind of things customers are interested in, what kind of information they are searching for, and then you need to design content that matches those questions that are on customers' mind. And again, it personalizes. So if I'm, Googling for laptops, then I get laptop content, and the other person who is Googling for bicycles gets bicycle type of content. So there is the element of personalization that relates to SEO. And finally, the journey facilitation. Well, at least if your content is not just SEO optimized, but also relevant and helpful for the customers might be able to find such content which may support their buying journeys or what comes after buying. So maybe some support for product usage or whatnot. So in that sense, it's a very, customer-centric strategy or tactic actually to use in digital marketing. And finally, it relates to the idea of brand equity or brand health or whatever you want to call it. It's definitely a means to increase brand visibility and awareness. So think about Googling for product category you're not very well aware of. You don't know all the brands, and then you look at the top ranked results and you see a new company name. So it might give you this brand visibility. And often we think that, okay, this is the top result. So it's probably a pretty good company organization that is providing these types of products. And yes, as mentioned, high ranking against relevant queries may have also a positive influence on brand image. So many of us kind of trust Google's algorithm, and we think that the top search results are provided by companies, organizations, and other website owners that know a lot about this thing, whatever we are Googling for. So it might be related also to this type of brand image. Like, let's say it might lead to favorable brand image as well. Now, the ranking is highly critical issue in SEO. And again, I always want to highlight that these are not, absolute wisdom, what you can see, these percentages and so on, but it gives you an idea. So these are the click-through rates by Google ranking position. And so here's the CTR that you can see. And how is CTR calculated? It is clicks divided by impressions, meaning, for example, here, 2% who are exposed to ad position one will actually click on that ad. And often, when you look at the Google results, the ads are on the very top. And after that, you will see the organic search results. And many consumers are aware that the first results are ads. So quite many people just, skip the ads and go and see what's the most relevant search query. So they go directly to the organic search results, as you can see in these percentages. So the numbers here are staggering. I've seen many different but similar reports. I mean, the numbers change, but this is roughly how it goes. So the very first search result is the one that gets the big share of the clicks. According to these stats, about 40%, and second position less than 20%. If you're not in top three, few people will click your link. If you're not in the top 10, very, very few people will pay attention to your search result. So ultimately, what this means is that if you want the SEO to work for you, you should really think how to rank very well with some of the business relevant search phrases and keywords that the customers are using. So you really need to be on the very top to get a lot of clicks. So it's paramount, and that's what we're going to discuss. Kind of like a similar story with eye tracking devices on the left-hand side. I think this is a very old picture. I haven't been able to see or identify something more fresh, but I don't believe there have been big changes. So you can see that the top results usually get the attention of the customers, and then there are a lot more attention, oh, sorry, a lot less attention to the results that come after that. So ranking matters, and it's highly important. Now, I won't give you a lecture about how Google search work, but I provide this link, and actually Google has even like a series of videos that go into the details how the ranking algorithm work. But if you just watch this video that you can access in the lecture material or via this link, you get the rough idea what Google is doing. And in brief, or in a nutshell, what Google is doing, they have created an index of the web. So it's more something like a library. So they have indexed all the websites that they can access with their so-called crawlers or spiders. So they're continuously looking for web pages and new web pages that appear. And then they have the index of what kind of content these web pages include. And whenever you search something, it matches your keyword with this index that they have created. And then by matching these two, it ranks the web pages in the order of relevance to your search query, or that's the intention at least. But to get a little bit better idea, this is a 5-minute video, so I recommend you to watch it. Now, something that is partly discussed in the video, but I thought that I could at least highlight some of the major factors that affect web page rankings in organic search results. So this is kind of like common wisdom that we know. It is said that Google uses hundreds of different factors and to rank the web pages, and then again they're using AI. So I sort of I've come to the conclusion that they are not absolutely sure themselves how the ranking system works, but they have been teaching their AI systems. So these are some of the common knowledge of some of the key factors that affect these search results. And some of these are in the control of the firm, so something you can directly control when it comes to improving the SEO performance. And some there are some things that are not so easily controlled by the firm. Companies can influence these other dimensions, but they cannot really somehow fix things and so on. So let's start what is controllable by companies. First of all, and the first big dimension is technical website performance. So first of all, Google likes high quality websites and web pages. And some of these issues that relate to this dimension is the accessibility of the page to the crawlers. So I just mentioned that Google uses these crawlers to create this index, and if it cannot access a certain page, usually it means that the links are broken or something like that, then it doesn't find the page, so it won't be indexed, so it won't be visible in Google. Page speed, meaning if the page or the website in general, if the pages are very slow, in a sense of so when you click a link and then you have to wait 20 seconds before the page opens, it's a signal for the Google that this is not a very good website. It's not very user-friendly. Correctness and security of the page code. So this relates to, for example, the idea that Google can read the page correctly. So it can identify what content it includes and so on. And of course, the security issue, if it's if the source code is sort of clean and Google can sort of trust that the data will be secure and these types of things. Clarity of the website structure. Google needs to be able to read the structure of the website. What are, the main pages, what are the sub pages, and so on. And usually when it comes to the ranking, Google likes those kinds of pages that are close to the main domain. So let me clarify this. If it's www.something.com and then there's a slash something, then it's one of these primary pages. But if it's slash something, slash something, slash something, slash something, and so on, and then there is something, the actual page, it probably means that for Google that this is not a very, important page for this website. So it's something very, minor thing. It's not in the focus of this website provider. It's not something important. So Google kind of likes these shallow page structures. And also the structure must be clean so that Google can sort of understand what are the, main categories and what are the subcategories must be logical. Good grammar and spelling. And then finally, mobile optimization or responsive design. So if Google can see that the page is not visible or is difficult to use with certain devices or certain browsers, then it's likely that Google is not going to like it too much. Okay, so besides technical website performance, the technical website performance, first of all, is probably the easiest thing. So it's a very technical in nature, just to make sure that the website functions correctly. But then perhaps the most important factor is the content of the website. So Google's key promise, and basically all search engines' key promise, is to provide relevant content against a specific keyword or search phrase. So ultimately, it's a lot about the keywords and related content. So I just showed the example of new laptop. So to be highly ranked, obviously you need to have the laptop and related synonyms in your web page content to be ranked to begin with. But the frequent appearance of relevant keywords in the page content. So if you want to rank well, these are still the very basics. Is that let's say it's I'm Googling laptop, so the laptop should be in the URL www. something.com/laptops. It should be in the page title so that the Google knows that, okay, this page is about laptops, header tags, body text. In other ways, or other way to put it, you have to have continuously this laptop theme within the page content so that Google can be sure that, yes, this page is actually about laptops. And this is already related to the consistency and depth of the content. So Google definitely likes information-rich content. And if it's a page about laptops, you want to use the laptop and related synonyms continuously in your page content. Google doesn't like that much the kind of pages that have, in the same page you have section on laptops and then for bicycles and cars and cosmetics and whatnot. And it makes Google a little bit unsure whether this page is actually relevant for the laptop query. So preferably whatever the keyword is, your page content should be consistently about that keyword or theme that the user has searched for. And definitely Google likes this lengthy content, which is not always even user-friendly, but it's also a way to see that it's information-rich. So you have these keywords many times in the website content. Originality of content, Google doesn't like duplicate content. So if you copy-paste content from somewhere else, Google can detect it and it doesn't like it. Also, I would say that if you use AI systems to, you use maybe very basic prompts, tell me, write me a web page content about laptops. It's probably going to be something very generic that has been written in a million other websites. So it's not going to be very original. So this is also maybe generally good to keep in mind when using AI for content creation. So if you just use the basic prompts, you get very general content. So you probably need to modify it and make it more original. Then freshness of the content. So Google doesn't that much appreciate web pages that have been updated 10 years ago the last time. So updating regularly the content is a signal for Google that it's still relevant. And that's one of these things. Okay, so these were the, I would say, key factors in that companies can control. So first of all, the technical performance and then the content. These are super important. Then again, there are a lot of things that companies cannot directly control. They can influence on these things, but there is no, magic silver bullet for these things. So first is user behavior on the side. So starting from the search engine result page, do customers or users click your link? And they probably compare this to the averages. So if you're in the ranking position one, but only 3% of the users click your search result, the algorithm probably starts to think that, okay, this doesn't seem to be a very relevant. So actually, many people prefer the results that are below this first search result. So that could be one signal that Google can use. Then bounces, immediate exits of the page. So if there are, people who click your link and go to the website and immediately come back and start Googling more or selecting some other link, it's definitely easy signal for Google that, okay, this web page that we proposed for the user did not seem to be very relevant. So that is probably something easy that Google can identify. Finally, referring links to the site. Again, you cannot control this, but if you have high quality content on the website, it is likely to be referred by some other websites. So the number of referring links to the site from quality websites is important. I want to underline quality websites, so the ones that Google actually trusts. So they are probably the websites that also get a lot of inbound links. And why they emphasize the quality websites? Well, it would be easy just to, create websites, like a million like a million websites that link to a particular page, and then it would have a lot of inbound links, but it would be sort of easy to game this system, and therefore they assess especially the quality. So there's a big difference whether the referral link comes from, BBC, or then it comes from some, organization or website that no one has ever heard of. The other thing is the relevancy of the links. So the referring links must originate from relevant content. So again, using the stupid laptop example, but if the referring web page that, well, refers to your web page is talking about bicycles, and then your web page is about laptops, Google can see that, okay, this is not a very relevant link. But if the original web page is about laptops and it refers to your web page that is talking about laptops, then it can see that, okay, this is a relevant reference. So they are pretty good at this quality assurance, is one of the reasons why it has become dominant, because all of these factors, how they designed them 20 years ago already, kind of like the essence of it, have turned out to be pretty good. And if this was too complex to comprehend, maybe a few words synthesize what are the key factors. So when it comes to technical website performance, I would say usability of the website, content of the website and user behavior on the side. This is relevance. So the web content seems to be relevant, and the user behavior indicates that it's relevant. And finally, referring links to the site, popularity. So usability, popularity, and relevance are the key factors that determines your search ranking by large. Now, we have already talked about web design and content marketing in this course, so I just want to explicitly make this link, even though I'm probably referring to these things over and over again, but just to make sure that you kind of see the connection. So SEO is not an island. It's not something disconnected from web design and content marketing. All these three things are interconnected, and here are a couple of reasons why. Well, web design and SEO, if you think about that, so web design largely determines the technical website performance, what we just talked about, the usability kind of things. And also, web design affects user behavior. It's difficult to use, people will leave, and so on. So these things go hand in hand. And then, especially when we talk about content marketing SEO, the frequent appearance of keywords that we just discussed, they can be embedded in website content. So when you have this content, it's also a way to insert those keywords that are relevant to the customers. So these things, again, go hand in hand. Continuous creation of high quality content increases the freshness, consistency, and depth of the content. So again, some of these factors that matter. The quality of content affects user behavior on the website. If your content is, well SEO or keyword optimized, but it doesn't really add any value, then the users will again leave. So the content must be SEO optimized, but also be relevant. So it needs to be helpful for the users. And of course, high quality content may be referred by other sites. If you have some amazing content, it's likely that some other people will refer to it, which is about this popularity factor. So you really need to think all of these three things, and it depends on the organization what's the emphasis of these three things. I would say that I would definitely emphasize the web design and content marketing, but then take into account the SEO aspect. So when we are, for example, creating content, we must also, like, we principally want to produce high quality content that customers will appreciate, but we also want to take the SEO hat, or wear the SEO hat, and think that, okay, how does this, match with the algorithms in search engines? How do we insert the keywords here? How do we make this content consistent so that not only the customers like the content, but also the search engines will like our content? So all of these things need to be planned together. Yes, so these things already mentioned. So all of these that are mentioned here are factors, are major factors in search engine rankings, and as said, these are all interconnected. Next, let's do a practical exercise on the importance of keywords when it comes to the rankings. Here you can see a Google search engine result page, and I have Googled search engine optimization. So you could imagine that the websites that rank well or web pages that rank well with search engine optimization are probably know something about search engine optimization. So we can kind of see what kind of tactics they use and how they reflect the major factors that we already discussed. Obviously, with this kind of exercise, we cannot see directly what's the technical performance or user behavior or popularity. But however, at least we can check how they use the keywords in their web content. So, search engine optimization, the first result is Google for Developers Search Engine Optimization Starter Guide. I'm not going to take this one because, well, it's a web page from Google, so I'm not quite sure if it's a fair comparison. But let's take the next one. So Search Engine Land wins the competition besides Google when it comes to search engine optimization. So this should be the most relevant web page in the world for my search query. I'm going to click that. And this is the web page that we are referred to. It's searchengineland.com guide. What is SEO? What is SEO? Search engine optimization. So Google understands synonyms very well. So it will make this connection that SEO is the same as search engine optimization. So let us check a bit how much do they use keywords on this page. Let's put here search engine optimization. And we can see that there are only six hits, but as mentioned, it also understands these synonyms very well. So let me put just SEO, and you can see that there are 164 mentions for SEO within this one page. And we can see how they have inserted these keywords to all kinds of different sections within the page. So first of all, it's in the URL, SEO. It's in the title. This is the table of contents, and these are the sort of subheaders of the page. Every single header is about the SEO. And without, you know, deeper look, we can just scroll down and you can see the yellow highlights here. SEO, 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 SEO is everywhere in the content. Remember, we talked about the profundity or how in-depth the content is. Google definitely likes these very information-rich pieces of content that are consistently about whatever we are searching for. So I search for SEO, so you can see that this page is consistently about search engine optimization, taking, you know, different perspectives and dimensions into account. And it's a very lengthy page that is continuously talking about SEO. So Google can deduce that, yes, this page is definitely about SEO. It's information rich, it's consistently about SEO and nothing else. So it kind of gets the idea that this is at least a relevant web page to my query. And you could definitely compare some of these others and then try to think why this is ranked the first and second and so on. But you can see that to be well ranked in some of these very competitive terms, one key prerequisite is that you need to have the keyword, whatever the customer or user is searching for, it needs to be very heavily embedded in the content. You can try all kinds of different keywords and come to the same conclusion that these keywords are the very essence, at least to have a chance to be well ranked. And I believe the other ranking factors are then again things that might affect, like whether you're the first or the second or the tenth position in the search engine result page. But the very key fundamental is that you are using the keyword that customers are or users are using in Google. Let's take another example here. Bicycle, highly competitive term. Let's see what we come up with. So these are the, product results. I'm not going to go there, but let's take the first kind of traditional search result, organic search result. And Pelago Bicycle seems to be winning the game this time. And let's have a look. The page is definitely about bicycles. There is even a different section for the bicycles, but also you can see from the URL, belagobicycles.com. Now this is a visual web page, so you cannot see the keyword bicycle here and there. We can actually check. It's definitely more, image based. So bicycle, we have 26 times within this page content, which is quite a lot. But when it's visual, it's important to understand Google doesn't really understand pictures that well. Perhaps with the AI, it's starting to understand. But what you should do when you use pictures is to explain to Google what these pictures are all about. So use these types of meta text in the source code. And by right click of your mouse, you can always see a paid source. At least with the Google Chrome browser. So let's check the source code. This is what it looks like. I don't understand a lot about it. I'm not, a coder, never been involved. But what I know is that this is basically the page that Google is reading. And now, if we do the same exercise and see, how many times bicycle has been used here. You can see it's 518 times. So they have a lot of links on the website where they have bicycles. Again, you can see the yellow highlights here. So bicycle, 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 bicycle. It's everywhere. It's in all kinds of content and links that relate to these images and other links that are on the website. And this is the page that Google is reading. And again, you can see that actually, this keyword is very strongly embedded in the website content. So again, you can start thinking how important it is to have this consistent content. And again, want to emphasize that this page is only about bicycle. It's not about anything else. It's fully focused on bicycle, and that's one of the reasons why they rank well here. In conclusion, the role of inserting keywords into the website content seems to be very important, and I actually encourage you to do this exercise with different types of keywords to see if you can come to the same conclusion that actually it's a lot about this keyword game, and you can sort of rightfully ask how smart Google algorithm is at the end of the day, because I've been doing this exercise many, many times, and I always come to the same conclusion that usually they whatever ranks first has is, I'm not saying that it's the only ranking algorithm that they use, but it seems to be consistently so that whoever ranks first, second, and third, they use a lot of the same keyword within the same web page content. So, I don't have any great wisdom on this topic, but this is maybe something you can pay attention. I really believe that even though they talk about AI and how smart and how many factors they take into account, it still seems at the end of the day that it's quite much, at least, about this keyword game that you need to play. Given that the keywords are crucial, in SEO. The next question is then, what keywords should we select to embed in the website content? And for this purpose, we need to do keyword planning. So this is one of the essential stages in SEO. There are a lot of tools that help you identify popular keywords and keyword phrases related to your business and offering. There are also tools that help you sort of evaluate how well your pages are ranked and so on. Many of these tools are primarily serving search engine paid campaigns, so paid search, but they can also be used for SEO, and some of these tools are maybe particularly designed for SEO purposes. Here's a list of some popular tools. So Moz is one. Obviously, Google has its own tool, but it's especially very much serving the ad planning rather than SEO. Keyword tool, Ahrefs, Keyword Explorer, and so on. I don't know exactly which tool is the best. This is probably a highly arguable issue, but I've heard some experiences. Many people seem to recommend Moz. It's at least one of those best. And they also have a nice free account that it's a limited free account that you can play around with. And we're going to take a look at that in a second. The potential pitfalls in the focus on keywords. So now that these tools give you suggestions, what are the sort of keywords that many users are using? You might also want to ask the question of whether the most popular keywords are the ones that your customers are using. So if you have a very clearly, segmented niche that you want to target, it might not, or their search behavior might deviate from average users. So this is good to keep in mind. And then the other thing is that if you look at the most popular keywords, is it realistic goal to compete with them, or whether you should think about some more complex keyword combinations that you could be more competitive with? But these are the couple of questions that you can think of when moving into the keyword planning. Next, I will show you an example of what these keyword tools are like. So this is the Moz keyword tool. And if you want to play around with Moz or any of the keyword tool, you can just Google them. Many of these can be tried free of charge. You probably need to sign up or something like for Moz, you need to sign up, but then you can use this limited version for free to get an idea how these types of tools work. And if you look at the funnel or navigation pane on the left, you can see what kind of features there are. You can get a domain overview. So domain basically refers to the root URL of your website. So let's say www.amazon.com. So that's the root domain. So you can get the domain overview, how you're doing with SEO in general. There's also competitive research, so you can compare yourself to some of your closest competitors. Then there's the keyword research that I'm going to discuss a bit. Link research. So we talked about the popularity of the web page and all those inbound links. So you can do some investigation of what kind of websites are linking to your page and so on. On-page creator, getting crates for a single page, like how well that is SEO optimized. On-demand crawl, you can see how the crawler would work on this particular web page. Rank checker and so on. Some of these are locked features, so we cannot use this with the test tool. However, let's talk about the keyword research, because one of the fundamental things in SEO is to figure out what keywords to use. And of course, you can start by just, intuitive brainstorming, maybe asking ChatGPT what could be the common keywords. But these tools kind of give you some stats on what the popular keywords actually are. And perhaps there are two key modes how to do this. First of all, you can explore different keywords. So if you're still in the phase that you're sort of brainstorming what kind of keywords should be embedded to your website content, then you can explore by looking at different types of keywords and related keywords, or then you can explore by site. So in that case, it already sort of analyzes like what kind of keywords you are already using and then giving related suggestions. But let's start with the brainstorming here. So I'm going into explore by keyword, and then we just need to figure out a keyword that we are interested in. I'm gonna use this outdoor clothing that I just tested a minute ago to make sure that we get at least some keywords. And then I'll click analyze. And now you need to select also the market area. I'm gonna take US because usually get a lot more keywords and so on in a broader market for illustrative purposes. And just click analyze. And at least it can show you know, what kind of data this type of tool produces. Some generic kind of information. Then the more interesting parts would be the keyword suggestions. So what are the so-called top suggestions? So it says this filter shows you keyword suggestions from all other filter suggestion types sorted by relevancy. Well, anyway, keywords that relate to. So if my keyword is outdoor clothing, it is giving you suggestions what other keywords you might be considering. So if this is the very key concept or key term that you think is relevant to your website, so let's say we are e-commerce store selling outdoor clothing, so then it should give you relevant suggestions. So what other keywords you might want to think about when selling outdoor clothing. And we can click here, view all. And there are many filters and things you can use, but let's look at the top suggestions first. Let's go a little bit slow, but here we go. Well, first of all, they are ranked by relevancy. So first criterion is which keywords this must tool things are relevant to outdoor clothing, and then secondly sorted by the monthly volume. So which keywords are widely used by the users, and some of these don't make a lot of sense, I guess. REI is a brand, as far as I know. I might be wrong about that. Sierra Trading Post, I don't know, maybe a brand. So these seem to be at least according to these stats something quite relevant in the US context. But if you move a little bit further down, outdoor store, outdoor gear. So instead of outdoor clothing, you might be talking about outdoor store, outdoor gear. Here is the original keyword: outdoor clothing brands. Outdoor brands, outdoors shops near me, men's outdoor clothing stores near me, and so on. And the list goes on and on. So this is just to like a tool to give you an idea of what kind of keywords you might consider, maybe including them as synonyms, or maybe, evaluating whether you should use the term outdoor clothing versus, for example, outdoor gear, which one is more popular, and so on. And it also gives you an indication of the search intent. So when customers are using the keyword REI, it's a navigational search. So there are probably people who just want to navigate to their website, given its brand, I suppose. Some of them are transactional. So this particular REI near me, some of them are commercial, and you give the descriptions what it is. Difficulty basically refers to the idea that how difficult it is to compete with whatever keyword. And then you can also analyze the search engine result page. So if I click here, then it'll show me an example of the search engine result page and how it might look like. So these are the kind of things that you can do. Sometimes the questions might be also relevant. So what kind of questions the users have been asking related to outdoor clothing? Sometimes these are little bit off the topic or not that relevant, but anyway, this might be good for SEO purposes, but also good for thinking about what kind of content we should produce, because I think at the end of the day, especially when it comes to informational content, we should answer all those questions that consumers are asking, so you can check out whether there are some relevant questions that could be addressed with a certain type of content. Then you get closely related topics, broadly related topics, similar SERPs, and so on. And next, let's take a look at the Explore. Now, if you're not sort of brainstorming, but instead you want to evaluate how well you rank with some set of keywords, then you can also explore your site. And now let's imagine that we are the marketing managers of Helly Hansen, which also, provides these outdoor clothing equipment, so it's kind of aligned with what we already discussed. And now it doesn't let me do this. Now analyze, and then let's see what kind of data we get from here. So first of all, you can see how many keywords are ranked to Helly Hansen. We can see the top positions. There are as many as 1,000 keywords where Helly Hansen is doing really well. 1,900 where it's doing relatively well. There's the page authority and domain authority. I'm not going into the details with those, as I'm not quite sure how they calculate them exactly. But let's look at the top ranking keywords to get an idea where Helly Hansen is very competitive today when it comes to SEO, and then maybe look at things where we could further improve the rankings. So now, when it comes to these top spots, so these are keywords where we are ranking at the position one at the moment. There are, many quite obvious things, like if someone is Googling Helly Hansen, we are probably the top position as we are represent the Helly Hansen company. But there are also a lot of not brand related search terms where Helly Hansen seems to be doing very well, like ski jackets. I think this is a really amazing achievement to be the top spot. Men's ski pants, ski jackets, men's ski jackets, Helly Hansen rain jackets, ski jackets. Especially, it looks like we are very strong when it comes to something related to skiing. And this is probably the emphasis of Helly Hansen brand without knowing in depth what's their strategy and specific emphasis. It seems that they, at least in Google searches, they're very strong when it comes to skiing, when it comes to probably winter something. Well, I don't see the winter here, but especially it seems to be very strong with skiing related clothing items. We can also see here, if we take a look at the keywords where we could still improve. So let's say we want to focus on the spots between 4 to 10. If you remember the ranking matter slide that I showed you earlier, it's very important that you are in the top three, preferably top one, but especially top three to get a lot of clicks. And there we could get some ideas where we should still strengthen our SEO tactics or SEO content. So, for example, shell jacket seems to be highly relevant term for Helly Hansen. It's definitely one of those keywords where Helly Hansen would like to be the first. So this would give us some ideas which keywords might be something that we should focus on. So let's go to the shell jacket pages and see how we could SEO optimize these. Maybe add keywords, add more profundity to the content, whatever we can do, or the kind of content that other organizations or other websites could be linked to. Winter park. Okay, here we get the winter keywords. So if we were the the top position for many skiing items, then this winter is something that we could emphasize maybe a little bit more, as it tightly relates to skiing as well. But yeah, not going into details, but this would be a good tool to figure out what kind of keywords are the ones that we could actually improve, and become even more competitive to reach the top spots. So this just a very brief illustration of what these keyword tools are like. Highly recommend you to play around with them and look for certain types of keywords. It might be a nice way to really get concrete ideas how you could do SEO if you are ever in a position where you need to do that. Finally, let's talk a little bit about the implications of AI to the future of search engines. So there's been quite a lot of discussion about whether in the future we might not rely so much on search engines, but instead we want to use chatbots and these other types of AI applications to support our information search and evaluation of different products. And I'm not a futurist how this will play out. I believe that both of these tools, like search engines, AI bots, will be there. And it's probably going to be also a matter of preference, how we're used to doing things, what do different people prefer. So I think they're both here to stay. But given that it's quite likely that the use of chatbots will, and I'm talking about by chatbots, I refer to ChatGPTs and these types of applications. So if this pattern becomes more prevalent, so that we start looking for products via these types of chatbots, it changes the logic of how we should do this SEO optimization. So we need to move from SEO optimization to AI optimization. So we have lived a long period of time in the world where we always need to think about the content and how it fits the search engine algorithms. And now we sort of need to move gradually towards thinking, how is the content relevant, or how does it matches the AI algorithms then again? And this is probably not something totally different, but there are clear differences when we think about the search queries we use in search engines versus what kind of discussion we have with chatbots. So, as just a silly illustrative example, I would argue that many times when we use search engines, our search queries are relatively short. If we start using very complex sentences, the Google algorithm is not very good at coming up with the most relevant content. Although I must also say that it seems that these AI features will be part of the search engines in the future as well. But however, usually when we search, we use a few keywords at best. That's the most common search phrase we have, two, three, four words or something like that. And what it basically means from the keyword optimization point of view is that relatively simple content works. Here I use training shoes. And to be competitive with this keyword, it basically just means that you need to have a lot of training shoes keywords in your web page content, and you need to talk about training shoes so that it's relevant. When we move on from this world to the chatbot, so even here I'm using ChatGPT and just asking training shoes, it leads to a way different interactional dialogue. So even like often in chatbots, these search queries are much more complex, but even if I use a very simple terms like training shoes, similarly to Google, you end up in a discussion with the chatbots. Are you looking for training shoes for a specific activity like running, weightlifting, or general gym workouts? Or do you need recommendations on brands and features? And then you start, elaborating what kind of training shoes you are looking for. And now, after the questions, after this dialogue with the chatbot, the chatbot is able to give you more personalized suggestions compared to what we have on the left-hand side, training shoes. Then you get training shoes content. But here, after this discussion, the chatbot is able to give you much more precise recommendations based on the need. So it definitely mimics the conversations that we would have with a good sales agent who would be asking similar questions. So when you go to a store and meet a salesperson, they are probably asking these types of questions. Now, what it means from the SEO or keyword optimization perspective is that in the old world, when we're only looking at search engines, it's quite enough for these types of keywords to have content where you mention training shoes and then you are have some product details about your training shoes and so on. So it's quite product centric often. When we move into this AI world, it's much more customer centric. So you need to have content that actually specifically explains in your product descriptions that these shoes are for running and these shoes are used in hard surfaces. These are especially good for, young males or and things like that. So it goes much deeper into the need that customers have. And I believe this is one of the key implications that when it comes to the SEO and if customers will be using these chatbots, it's not enough to talk about the product, but you need to optimize your content so that it's customer centric. So it actually explains how a certain product or service fits particular needs that customers might have. So I believe this is one of the key revolutions that that relates to this whole idea of SEO optimization. So from the product centric towards the customer centric optimization. And it definitely puts a lot of pressure for good content marketing once again, and a movement from product details to customer need descriptions. If you're interested in SEO, there are a bunch of companies that offer great learning resources for studying what SEO is in practice. So, for example, Moz that I've been using in this lecture quite much, they have this SEO Learning Center and a bunch of different resources. I think they have like an academy of thing, kind of thing. And if you don't like these, company-centric kinds of resources, then you can look courses from Coursera, for example, or Udemy, and these types of things. SEO is one of those things that I feel many students are very interested in, and they consider rightfully that it might be a crucial skill to get those entry-level jobs and so on. So I highly recommend you think about if you're interested in SEO, and these are the kinds of things that at the university none of us are, SEO experts. We don't do this on a daily basis. So you benefit much more from courses that have been designed by practitioners who do SEO every day. So they know all the technical details and things you need to consider. So if you want to build capabilities on SEO, definitely encourage you for extracurricular activities. However, hopefully we met the key learning goals today. So even if I'm not able to, give you all the details of SEO, I hope that you now have a good idea what are the key factors that affect the SEO performance. So we talked about the usability, we talked about the relevance, we talked about the popularity of the website and pages. Then at least I hope you got some idea how to conduct keyword analyses to identify relevant keywords to embed in the website content and also investigate which keywords your you are at the moment, competitive, and what kind of keywords you are, kind of competitive, but not in the very top positions. So you can think of how to optimize your web pages even better to get the very top spots, because ranking matters, as we have discussed today. Thank you for coming to the lecture or listening to this video, and have a great day.